Hello, everybody. So welcome to our session about Windows Azure Pack and Azure Site Recovery, Better Together. So my name is Christopher Kiertz. Alexander, my co-speaker, has not been able to join, so I will host the session on my own. Right now, while we are speaking about Azure Site Recovery, DRP, why do we need that? We need this, we need that in place to ensure that the business continuity to ensure that our company is able to continue the business to earn money that everything is running. And most of the time, as an IT guy, as an IT manager, you have to put that plan in place. So you have to create your DRP. You have to create your business continuity plan. And how you feel when this responsibility up to you, it's up to you to do, you often feel like this. Why? Because there are many challenges when we are talking about business continuity. The first one, certainly, is it's complicated, really, because you need to know your in-house application. You need to know what this application needs to run. What do you need to be able to recover this application? Because we are not only talking about one server, one drive, or something like this. We are really talking about the application. Also, there is many data, a lot of data that you need to back up, that you need to be able to recover. Also, retention, because storing the data, the storage is costing a lot of money, and depending on the retention that you need, it could also increase your costs for your DRP plan, for your business continuity plan. Time intensive also for media management. So if you are still working with tape, so you still need to move your tape from one site to another, when you need to recover your application, it will take time. So you cannot recover an application or a server like this in 30 minutes or in less than 30 minutes. And of course, all these increase the costs. Let's see, what can we do for what can we do for you? What can Microsoft do for you? What can Azure do for you and provide you as a DRP solution, as a disaster recovery solution? The first one is automate. Simply, because like this, you don't have to do it manually. And when you are running and when we are in a rush of a DRP process, a DRP plan, you don't have the time to think. You don't have the time. You just need to follow something. You just need to run a script. And like this, you are safe and you are sure that your application will run. Protecting your data. That's also really important to be sure to be able to recover what you need. Eliminate the tape. Really, use disk if you could. Storage, no, you've got different kind of storage. You could have low-cost storage, high-cost storage, high-speed, low-speed. You could really use other storage, online storage, to store your data over there and eliminate the tape management. And like this, you don't have to ask somebody to come restore the tape because you need that urgently to be able to restore your application. And we've got a lot of different options, a lot of different challenges here. And all this lets you achieve to have a nice DRP solution and to reduce the cost of your solution. Now, let's focus on what can Microsoft Azure do for you. There is a lot of different options. I assume that you already attended several Windows Azure Site Recovery sessions here during these 3 days. But here we'll really focus what we can do with Windows Azure Pack. But first, just to have everybody aligned, Microsoft first solution that I proposed a few months ago, it's really a site-to-site recovery using Microsoft Azure Site Recovery, so ASR. So we'll come from Windows Server that you are running on-prem using System Center on the left side, and you want to move to another DC that you own. So you've got already a second DC, a second data center with data running over there with compute power, storage, and everything. And you just want to have a nice solution that will let you recover all your data, move all your data from one DC to another one. And there, Microsoft Azure is there for that. So you could easily use it just to orchestrate, to automate your recovery process. So in that case, Microsoft Azure will take care of ensure that everything, all your DRP, your disaster recovery infrastructure is healthy. So it will take care of starting the replication from one site to another, in the case of Hyper-V here, using Hyper-V Replica, and also on top of System Center, so using VMM. Since a few months, it's also possible to move from a physical infrastructure to a VMware one. So if you are running VMware, so VMware to VMware or physical to VMware, that's possible. So that's thanks to a new Microsoft acquisition that they did a few months ago, ImageScout, which is there for that, and would let you really move your VMware workload, your physical workload, to your second data center. So we are not stuck to Microsoft technology here, I would say. And as for the first example, there you are also using Microsoft Azure to ensure that you will be able to move from your first DC to your second one, to ensure that your solution is healthy and that you will be able to use it and recover your data. Now, something else that is also really interesting. If you don't have a second data center, a DRP site, you could also directly recover to Microsoft Azure. That's also another solution. So you don't need to invest in a new building, in cooling system, power supply, and whatever. So you could directly recover from your own site, so from your primary site, to Microsoft Azure. And this for all the type of workloads, when you are talking about, of course, Windows Server running under VMM System Center, also directly Hyper-V, so you don't need System Center anymore. So System Center and VMM are not requirements for this solution, so you could directly recover over there. And also, as we talked about before, you could also move directly from VMware and physical boxes directly to Azure and Azure VM. So that's also a nice way to convert existing workload and move them to Azure directly. This technology is moving really fast. So what is happening is Microsoft is pushing new update, new release, new functionalities. So this slide is already not up to date anymore, because now you could also move from Amazon directly to Microsoft Azure. So that's one of the new features which is already available. Why do I need to go to Microsoft Azure? Why? Simply because there is a lot of data center. There is a lot of option for that. How many DC for the moment? About 17, and it's increasing day after day. A new one will be available later this year in India directly. So Microsoft is increasing the number of data centers that they have. So if you are running your business in the US, you could easily recover to another location in the US also, or if you prefer to recover in Europe, that's also an option. So you really have plenty of options where you want to use, where you want to put your workload, where you want on the site that you want to use as a recovery site. And if you are taking a look to this picture has been updated just last week, because now ESR is really available in all the DC, in all Azure DC all over the world. So it means that you could really use any of these DC as your disaster recovery site. Now, so that was just a general presentation to align everybody about what ESR is, what can we do for you, what kind of workflow you could move. If you are there, it's about, we are really certainly focusing about Windows Azure Pack. What can I do with Windows Azure Pack as an hoster, as a company? What are the options? First option that I have is to use ESR, I would say, in the normal way, so as a regular way, as I'm using it with VMM, with my physical infrastructure. So in that case, I've got my two DC, and I will use ESR to move from one DC to another. So simply replicate all my workload, all my workflow. My VMM infrastructure will be replicated, and if I replicate my VMM infrastructure, my storage infrastructure, and so on, you could have your Windows Azure Pack infrastructure available easily in the other site. So that's really the idea there. That's really easy. For that, as I said before, so the connection between Azure and your data center are just there for the orchestration. So your data are not moving like this to the cloud and coming back there. So you need to already have a side-to-side VPN, a connection between your two sites. So here, this link is only used to be ensured that all the VM there are running are healthy, and if not, that you could trigger and start your DRP and move everything, all your workload, and start your workload on the other side. Now, another option. So if you are an hoster, a big company, a big IT company, and you've got different tenants, different customers that are using your Windows Azure Pack infrastructure, and you want also to use that kind of solution, but you don't have a DRP site. So there, Microsoft Azure is there also. So it means that you will be able to recover your tenant workload directly to an Azure subscription, but not a global one that you will need to share with your tenant, because they will not be agreed to that, to have their VM running just next to the VM of other tenants. There, the solution is that you will have a subscription for each of your tenants. So it means when you, as administrator, as WAP manager, you will decide to start the recovery, a recovery plan, you will start the disaster, the DRP, it will start each tenant workload in a dedicated Azure subscriptions. which means that there we have tenant isolation. One of the questions that you could have, can I already use or reuse Azure subscription from one of my tenants? So if my tenant has already an existing subscription, can I reuse it? In that case, no. So you really need a dedicated subscription. But that's not really a problem, because if your tenant is already using an Azure subscription, so running some workload over there, you could always create a side-to-side VPN from a dedicated subscription to the existing one. So because it's really, you really have to see that as another site, as a DRP site. So you could really connect and interconnect it to another one. So that's really the idea over there. So each tenant will be isolated from the other one with storage separated and everything. And you, as web administrator, you will manage on top an Azure subscription, and under this one, you will have all the tenant subscription. Since when it's available, so in fact, already a long time ago, it's not a new feature. So using Windows Azure Pack with ESR, it's not new. It's come, it's there and available since Update Rollup 4. So now we're already running Update Rollup 7 since a few weeks. So it means that it's already available for nine months. So since 9 months, sorry, you could use ESR with Windows Azure Pack. Now, how can you propose the recovery option? So you've got multiple options over there. So it's not mandatory for you to backup and to propose a recovery for all your tenant VM. So there you could see that as recovery as a services. So you could add, it's an added value for your offer. So if you're offering different, if you've got different offer for all your tenant, you could really decide if all the tenant could decide which VM he want to be able to recover in Azure or in a second data center. So it's really, you really have to see that as a plus, as an add-on, as a DRP plan, and as a services. So it's really DRP as a services for your tenant. So if you are an hoster, that could be really an extra service that you could propose and that you could earn money from it. How it's used, how it's working, as we said it before, automation. Automate, automate, automate. So based on that, it's using SMA runbook. So as you certainly already attended some other SMA session during this event, there it will be simple, as simple as that. We are using different SMA runbook to trigger the fact, the DRP, to trigger the recovery from one site to another, from one site to Microsoft Azure. How it works. So we have got our main DC, so our data center, so we are the hoster or we are the company, and we've got a Microsoft Azure subscription. Where there we have the Azure Recovery Vault. So it's really a vault where we've got all the configuration about ESR. And there we've got different tenants that are there. And what we want a tenant to be able to recover its own subscription. So it means that the VM replication will not go to your subscription, to the management subscription, I would say, but it will go directly to the tenant subscription. The replication is directly going over there, so data are isolated. So even in Microsoft Azure, you've got isolation over there. And as you see here, you could create different virtual network if it's required by your tenant. You could create a side-to-side VPN there. So you could really have connectivity for your tenant and ensure that the business is still running. So really business continuity is really important over there. And as we are using Microsoft Azure, you've got the public IP, you've got boundaries, you've got availability of all your service. If you've got a second tenant, the idea is the same. So it's really have VM replication going over there. And if something is going wrong, we'll just put this data center offline and each tenant could continue to work. Or they will access it directly from the Microsoft Azure portal. So if they want to access to their VM that are running over there, they will use your Azure Pack portal that you will provide to them, so through internet connectivity, internet connection, like usual. And if they want to access to their VM that they will run here in case of a DRP, they will directly log on to Microsoft Azure. Concerning the subscription, so as we saw just here, the billing system will not bill this Azure subscription directly to the tenant. So this one will be billed directly to the hoster. So you, as a service provider, you could reinvoice directly your tenant. You could reinvoice directly your customer over there. And you could say, oh, maybe if you subscribe to this option, the DRP, it will be free of charge for you. So you could really define what kind of option you have. So you really have option over there, and you will not have to say to your tenant, yes, but you will have to pay yourself for your Azure subscription for the compute that you will use over there. So you are still the owner of that, and you could manage what you want to do over there. Now we will first start the first demo of the presentation. We will see what it looks like, what we can do directly like this. So. What we have here, so it's a simple Windows Azure Pack installation. So I'm like a tenant, so I'm using ADFS here for the authentication of my tenant. I will just log on my portal as a tenant. Because yes, we will play a different role in this demo, so that's important. Right now, we are a tenant. Okay, so you will see here, as a tenant, I will have, it's just really a simple configuration. So I've got three VMs that are already there, two are running, one is stopped, and it's easy. So I could see all my information. I've got classical information like that we've got in Windows Azure Pack, graph, performance information. And if I want to create a new one from a standalone VM, quick create, I've got two subscriptions that are available directly in Windows Azure Pack. So you, as an administrator, you could create different plan. One which is could be called protected VM, and what is called just VM. Maybe create a test plan or a dev machine plan. So like this, your tenant, if you want to create a dev box, you just put the dev box in this plan. And if you want to put the production machine, you can ensure your tenants, if you create your machine, your server, your VMs in this subscription, there will be protected. And your VM there, you will be able to recover this VM directly in Microsoft Azure. So you, as a tenant, it's really easy. You don't have to do anything. You just have to select the right subscription. Now, if you prefer to let and to protect all the VM, that's also an option. But there, here, you could let this choice to the choice to your tenant. OK, I want to protect this workload. I don't want to protect this one. So that's really an option. You, now we are the administrator. So we are in Microsoft Azure. So we just moved from the tenant portal to Microsoft Azure over there. And we are able to decide when and why we want to start a DRP. So if I'm going over there, let me take the right one. I could see my tenant 01 protected VM, which was the same name that I use right here. So when I created my VM, sorry, not from Gary. I use exactly the same name. So I know that I could recover, and currently these VM are protected. So if I click on it, you, as administrator, as hoster, you could decide when you want to recover. So when you want to start your DRP. After that, of course, you need to warn your customer, your tenant, that you will have to use the Azure portal. But it's you that have the power, the right, to say, OK, right now, I've got a problem in my DC, or I've got a plan action. Maybe you've got a maintenance that is planned in your DC, in your data center, and you say, it will not be available for the next 24 hours. Let's move all my tenant workload in Microsoft Azure. So let's start the DRP. And there, I could simply click on failover and move my VM from my own data center and start a failover directly to Microsoft Azure. As you could see, you've got different options. You've got plain failover and you've got unplanned one. And you could also test it. That's also really an important feature because I know a lot of customers that have DRP and they've never been able to test it because they have to put all the VM down, restart the VM the other side. So that should be only be done during outside business hour or the weekend, so they cannot test it. Here, you could, because as soon as your VM is protected, and if you want to test it, you could also run in an isolated mode. So it means that you will select another network. So your tenant is running VM on production on your side, and if you want to test his DRP, and if your tenant wants to test it, you could just initiate it there, create a new network which is isolated from the production one, and your tenant will be able to test and say, OK, yes, that's cool. That's working as I expected. Or maybe I have to do some modification over there. So you could really test your DRP without impacting your production or your tenant production. So that's even more important, I would say. So you could really test it. So that's really an important option. And now I will just start. You've got plain failover and unplain failover. The main difference is a plain failover is that you know that you will have a maintenance in your data center. So when you will click on plain failover, it will shut down the VM. On your DC, we'll start another replication, a last replication, I would say, before powering up the VM in Microsoft Azure. If you create an unplanned, it will take the last recovery point that you have, the last recovery option, the last time that the VM has been saved in Microsoft Azure to start. So it will not try there to shut down your VM. So unplanned is really in case if while you had fire in your DC and you are really not able to do anything else. So better to use plain failover, if you could. So direction, easy. So in that case, we go from on-prem to Microsoft Azure. And that's done. That's it. That's all you could start a recovery, a DRP for one of your tenants, just by doing two clicks. So that's really easy. So before, we are the tenant here. And now, for my VM01 that we saw just before, so this one, I decided to start a DRP for this VM. And you could see, failover is in progress. So soon, it will contact my VMM server, shut down the VM, start the last replication, and the VM will be available for my tenant in Microsoft Azure. What is important also for you as an administrator is to get status. So each time that you start an action in ESR, you are able to retrieve a status directly. So because it's based, it's job-based, I would say. So you just click on it, and you've got all the steps that is happening. So there you could clearly see what is happening. So OK, we'll soon shut down my VM, start the failover, and after that, it will rebuild my VM. For the demo, as this is taking time. So just to be honest also, when you are starting a DRP, a VM, so you decided to say, yes, I want to fail over this VM from on-prem to Microsoft Azure. To get the VM running on Microsoft Azure, it's taking about 20 minutes. Because it's not an online, and I would say offline solution. So there, what is happening? It's using RPV replica just to replicate the storage that you are running on-prem, so the VM, the storage used by your VM on-prem, to Microsoft Azure. So the VM is not yet created in Microsoft Azure. Only the storage is consumed over there. And when you click on Start Failover, there it will build a new VM in Microsoft Azure and use the disk that has been uploaded, so use the storage over there. So it's not an online solution or an online and just offline that you just need to turn it on. It needs to create the VM and will use the disk that has been uploaded and saved by ESR. So that's really, that's why also it's taking time. So I would say about 20 minutes for VM, but it could run in parallel, of course. So we not, you don't need to wait each time 10 times 20 minutes. So you just start it, it will start the VM creation for all the workload that you protected. And I would say in 20 minutes, 30 minutes, you are done. And you could make a phone call to your tenant. OK, you could now use your DRP site, and you could reuse your workload and application directly from Microsoft Azure. Now, I'm back to be, and I'm back, and I'm the tenant. So what I want to do as a tenant, so my VM was running there. You could see my VM1 has been stopped as my second one. I want to use this VM. So my service provider told me he has a problem. He needs to start the DRP plan. I could just log on to the Microsoft Azure portal. So the hosting provider created for me a subscription in Microsoft Azure. And now I could just go to portal.azure.com. That's the new portal. Or you could go to the previous one, so the classical portal. There is, you've got the same information that are available over there. And what I will see here, I could see that I've got already my VM2, which is available and which is running. So it's really just a Microsoft Azure VM that are running. So my VM was first available on my Windows Azure Pack infrastructure, sorry, here. My administrator, so my DRP manager, so my hoster, decided to initiate, to start a failover. And now I could access to this VM directly in Microsoft Azure. And of course, it will run as any Microsoft Azure VM. So you will have access to all the information that you have, like monitoring information. You could connect it to it directly through RDP. You have information about its own IP address. So you've got everything like you are when you are running a VM in Microsoft Azure. And you will see before the end of the session the VM, the MyVM01 will pop up over there. So it will just take about 20 minutes to have the VM available over there. And if you prefer to use the classical interface, or if your tenant prefer to use the classical interface, he could have directly see that his VM has been failover directly in Microsoft Azure and could start to use it here. And as I said, so you are the hoster, and if your tenant is using resources on his local network, so if your tenant has already a side-to-side VPN between him and you as an hoster, you could create a side-to-side VPN between his subscription and his network. So like this, you are sure that you could have business continuity and that everything are still online. So that's really the idea over there. So really easy. Building blocks. What do we need to be to put that in place? Because as you could see here, it was just go to from an interface, click on one button, and after that, your tenant could go to Microsoft Azure portal and get access to this workload directly. But what do you need to put that in place? As we said before, subscription. Subscription. So you, as an administrator, you create in Microsoft Azure, you could create one subscription per tenant. And on each subscription, you need storage, a storage account. So manually or using ARM or another process script, whatever, you could create already the storage account, the network for all your tenants. Like this, they will be ready to be used and consumed by your Azure Site Recovery process. What is important also, you as you will be the owner of all the subscription, all the subscriptions should be part of the same directory. That's really important because you should be able to see all your tenant subscription here. So tenant 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever. But it's really important that all the subscriptions are part of the same directory. It's also why a customer cannot use his current subscription for that, because he will not be agree to share his current directory. So you as an hoster, as a data center provider, you need to create your own directory and put your, all your tenant over there. And as action, you just need to provide an admin access to the specific subscription for your tenant. What you could say also here, what we need, so we need WAP, we need an Azure subscription, of course. We need SMA, so SMA will be there for automating the process. So for the automation, we will use the service management automation engine that will really run the runbook and start the process. Site-to-site VPN is not mandatory. So from your data center to replicate to Microsoft Azure, it's going through directly internet, HTTPS, so everything is secure using Hyper-V replica. So you don't have any problem there. It's not mandatory to use a site-to-site VPN for that. That's a big news, I would say. Because one of the main problems of Microsoft Azure, is that it's running VM generation 1. So when you were running VM generation 2 on your DC, you were not able to recover in Microsoft Azure, or using you were not able to recover in Microsoft Azure by using ESR. That was really a big problem because they were there. There were no conversion available at that moment. And now, since a few months, I think it's since April, the ESR team put in place an automatic process. So it will mean that when you want to protect a VM, a generation 2 VM from on-site, and you want to recover it in Azure, when you will start the process, ESR will convert generation 2 VM into a generation 1 VM. So there for you, it's totally transparent. You don't have to do anything. So it means that if you are running Gen 1 or Gen 2 on-prem, it will be converted to a Gen 1 in Microsoft Azure. And you could, and you or your tenant will be able to use it directly from there. Now, what about the failback? If I decided to fail back from Microsoft Azure to on-prem, there the process will run again. So it means that it will run a Gen 1 in Microsoft Azure. And if it was a Gen 2 before, it will reconvert it to a Gen 2 to run on your data center. So it's really a transparent process. And that's why also it's taking a time when you are initiated the recovery over there. But that's really, really important. Right now, the conversion from Gen 2 to Gen 1 to Microsoft Azure is only available for Windows workloads. So it will be soon be also available for Linux. That does not mean that you cannot recover Linux in Microsoft Azure. But right now, if you are using ESR and you want to recover Linux, you could only do it with Gen 1 VM. The process. So all the magic is happening. You've got Windows Azure Pack, which is available over there, and SMA, VMM, Hyper-V, Microsoft Azure. So it's really SME that will work there and that will check in Windows Azure Pack for which VM you need to enable the protection. So it would say, SMA will check every day, whatever you want. It's just a few scripts, a few runbook that you need to schedule that will check for which VM you need to protect. When it's done, so SMA will query Windows Azure Pack. OK, I need to enable protection for this VM. After that, it will do directly a connection to VMM, not through SPF. So it will directly connect via PowerShell to VMM and will just tick the small box, protect this cloud, protect this VM, protect all the VM part of this cloud. And from there, it's the regular process of Azure Site Recovery that will start, and that will replicate your VM from your on-site to Microsoft Azure. So it's really SMA using automation, using script that will read Windows Azure Pack, in Windows Azure Pack, what you need to protect, and will just enable it in VMM. So that's why right now, for that, for Windows Azure Pack and Azure Site Recovery, you need also VMM for that process. The runbook. The runbooks are available directly, so it's using 5 runbooks. The runbooks are directly available on Microsoft TechNet, so you've got the link over there if you want to use it. It's, of course, free of charge, so you could use it. And what is nice, it's totally open. So the runbook, the code is there. So if you want to modify it, if you want to use it for your own, or if you want to say, I don't want to start my automation from SMA, but I prefer to start it directly on my own with a manual script that I want to use and start manually, you could. Or if you are using also your self-service portal that you have already, and you say, and you want just a big button or a big red button, start DRP, you could, and just call an SMA web service over there and initiate your DRP. So that's also possible. The scripts are there. You've got access to all the functions that has been used. So you could review it. You could modify it and do whatever you want with it. Now let's see how we could put all this in place and what we can do. So as I said before, so we need Hyper-V here in that case. So I've got a single Hyper-V host. And we need VMM. What we will do, in VMM, we need to create one cloud per tenant that you want to protect. Because the idea is to have data isolation in Microsoft Azure. So there, that's a requirement. We need to create one cloud per tenant. So I've got my tenant one, my tenant two. And you could select, as before, you could say, OK, I want to protect only this VM on Microsoft Azure. I don't want to protect the VM over there. That's basically all the stuff that you need to do. Now, you want and you need to make this cloud available in Microsoft Azure. So you've got just a little box that you need to tick over there. So you go to the properties of your cloud, and you click on them. Send configuration data about this cloud to Azure Site Recovery. So you just click over there. And I don't know if you saw before. You could also have the script that is doing that. So if you want also to automate this part, that's possible. Okay. So from a VMM point of view, so you did that. And now you go as an administrator to Microsoft Azure. And what is interesting is recovery services, because it's there, so you need to create a recovery vault, so where you will store your information, where you will store your recovery information. So you just click on New, plus Data Services. You've got two options, Backup Vault, that's if you want to backup Azure VM in Azure directly, and that's if you want to use ESR, so it's Recovery Vault. You just need to select a region, as you saw before, so all the regions that are available for ESR, just provide a name, and there, the main subscription that you want to use. That's what we have here. And when you did that, you just click here on the little cloud, and you could see all the different options that you have with Azure Site Recovery. If I want to replicate from VMM site to Azure, VMM site only, Hyper-V to Hyper-V, and you've got all the different options and steps that are available over there. So in our case, we want what? As we are using Windows Azure Pack, we want to recover from an on-prem VMM site to Microsoft Azure. So you've got a few steps that we need to follow here, only 5, so quite easy. You just need to download a provider, so which is a kind of little agent that will run on your VMM server. You also need the recovery agent services that should be installed on all the Hyper-V hosts that you want to use. And when you did that, you will be able to see directly your VMM server from the ESR configuration. So there, I could see my VMM server. I could see that he just contacted 2 minutes ago Azure, so I know that this is online, and I know that I'm running the last version. Now, concerning the internet connectivity requirement for your server. So it's using HTTPS, so 443, that's not a problem. If you want to go, if you want to do a site-to-site recovery, so if you are using the site-to-site option, only VMM needs to have an internet access, internet connectivity, because you will directly speak with Microsoft Azure. If you want to go from Microsoft, from a VMM site, so from your on-site, so on-prem, to Microsoft Azure, there all your Hyper-V also needs to have internet access. So VMM and Hyper-V if you are going from on-site to Microsoft Azure. So that's a requirement. Once you did that, you check the box. After that, you check the little box that you saw in VMM and all the cloud that you want to protect. In fact, each cloud will be a tenant, will be visible over there. So you will see all the different cloud that you have. And now you just need to configure it. So if we take the first one, we could click on configure. And there I could say, OK, my target will be Microsoft Azure. And there it's really important, subscription. As administrator, you've got access to all your tenant subscription that will be listed over there. And I said, OK, I want to protect my first tenant, my tenant number one. So the recovery should happen is in its own subscription. So you select it from here. If you check the box, uncheck the box here, it will not be visible for there. So as an administrator, always keep all the box checked here to be able to select it. You select the storage account from the tenant subscription. If the tenant wants to encrypt the data, that's also available. And you could see, and you could check here and select the frequency for which you want to protect the tenant workload. It could be every 30 seconds, every 5 minutes, every 15 minutes. So you've got a lot of different options that you could propose to your tenant as recovery option, as recovery feature. Also, if you are running, if you want application snapshot consistency, you could also select this over there. And now another option, the first time that you want to replicate, the first time that you will initiate the replication from your on-prem to Microsoft Azure, it will take times. So, and you could select here if you want to start it directly, or if you want to postpone it to another moment, maybe during the night when less person are using the line. So that's another idea. So when you did that, we'd say that the cloud is protected. But it's not because the cloud is protected that the VM are already part of it. So we still need to check and put the VM over there. And that's where that we will use SMA. So because right now, you just protect the cloud. So it means that you just enable some settings that you select a storage account for this one. So we select the Microsoft Azure. We select tenant subscription, the storage account, a few options. But when you did that, it will still be empty over there. So we'll have no VM protected. So, and now, also, as an administrator, you don't know when one of your tenants will create a new VM. But you want to ensure that this VM will be protected. So that's really the idea. So you don't care when the tenant will create one, but you want to be sure that the VM is protected. So that this will happen in Windows Azure Pack as an administrator. So now we are in the service management portal from Windows Azure Pack. As before, we created one cloud per tenant. We created in Microsoft Azure Site Recovery, we added the cloud, so we added a new tenant. There, we need to create a plan per tenant. The idea, we need to do that just to keep the data isolation per tenant. So we create a new plan over there. So my tenant one, protect it. We click there, so only VM are available in it. So you're certainly already saw that before. So that's targeting my VMM. That's my tenant number one for is protecting VM cloud. But what is important, what you have to do there, it's only you only need to check this box. Enable protection for all these VM. So because what will happen here, when the SMA runbook will start, SMA will check all the different cloud, all the different plan that has been defined in WAP, and will check for which plan the box has been checked. And if it's been checked for this plan, it will know, okay, no, I will need to run Azure Site Recovery for all these VM. I will need to enable it. So it's only that. So it's not by just enable it here that everything will go in place. There are just a flag, in fact, a yes or no flag. And there, will read this flag and will know for which VM it needs to do it or not. So the other part, so that has been checked. So now Azure is down, VMM is down. We created a new plan for a customer. We checked the box. Now we could take a look to SMA. That's if we go to runbook. So on TechNet, you've got the 5 runbook that has been published by Microsoft. They are available here. You will see something strange in the name here, as you could see, recovery. Don't rename it, because inside the script, they recall it like this. So that's not a mistake, but keep it like this if you want to be sure that everything will run out of the box. After that, as it's PowerShell workflow, you could modify and do whatever you want. From all these runbook, there is a master runbook, which is this one, the Azure Site Recovery Protection Job. And this is really this runbook that will initiate all the other and will read the flag in Windows Azure Pack configuration, so in the plan, and will enable the option. If you are running ESR without Windows Azure Pack, what is happening? When you've got a VM that is running and you want to enable ESR, you just click here, Manage Protection, and check the box. That's, in fact, what this SMA runbook will do. It will check all the clouds. It will see, oh, for my tenant 01 protected VM cloud, I need to enable Azure Site Recovery for all the VMs. So, in fact, I just need to check this box. That's exactly what you will do here. So if we go back to the runbook here, we could just start it. These runbooks are available for also if you are going from one site to another site, or if you are going from one site to Microsoft Azure. So it's the same runbook that are compliant for the both solution. As we will go only from on-prem to Microsoft Azure, we only need to provide information for these two connection system strings, so for these two connections. So primary site, admin site connection, that's in fact a WAP admin connection to be able to read the configuration. And the other one, it's a primary VMM admin connection to be able to check the box in VMM. First of all, to have that available, you need to create an asset. So you need to create a connection string, which is available. So I already created two, one with my VMM credential and one with my Windows Azure Pack credential to be able to create the connection. So you first create two assets, and after that, you should be able to see the runbook, and we will try to run the runbook if it's okay to load or not. Okay. So we just take the runbook, we click on start. So here I will start it manually, and the idea is, as you saw before, my VM03 is not yet protected. So it's, for example, a VM that I just created right now. And I need, as an hoster, I need to ensure that all the VM from my tenant are protected. So this script could run, the SMA task could run every 10 minutes, every 15 minutes, whatever, to be sure to protect everything. So there we will provide the connection string. So my WAP admin connection string. And I will run my VMM connection. Ensure to have no blank before, otherwise it will not work. Okay, I could start it. So there, it will take a few minutes, so for SMA to submit the job. So in a few minutes, it will create a new job, so we'll have a new line, we'll see that the runbook will start, and when the runbook will start, it will create a connection to Windows Azure Pack, will read all the cloud, and will after that do a connection to VMM, and will go to check the box. As Azure Site Recovery, as Azure in general, it's creating job, and you could always have a status about everything. So if you want to know if everything is running well, just click on it. So you could see that now the status of the runbook is starting. So it will take just a few minutes over there, and after that you will see that you will enable the replication. So if we take another example, so the one that already ran last time that I use it, that's the output that you will receive. So we could say, okay, I need to enable disaster recovery, so Azure Site Recovery for one VM in this run. I could see for how many VM this has been already enabled. Because also, what you need to do, if one of your tenants will delete one of his VM, it will not send you an email. I'll just delete it a VM. Please remove the recovery option. No. So this script will check that the VM has disappeared and will just disable the recovery option for this VM in Microsoft Azure to be sure that you still have consistency over there. So as you could see, the job already complete, so the one that we just started. So it will go directly here to the dashboard. And it will tell us, OK, it's only still starting the ESR runbook, so we need to wait a bit. And after that, when it will be finished, we'll be able to go directly here, and we'll see that the box will be checked. So that's really the idea and what really this runbook are doing. So it's quite simple, in fact. Huh? So it's really just reading information from one side, communicating to VMM, and communicating to Windows Azure Pack. So if you want to create your own script, go for it. Huh? So you could. So there is really no problem over there. Now, another part that is important, so we've got 15 minutes left, so we'll have some tips and tricks. So when you are running Windows Azure Site Recovery. All the stuff that you will see right now are also available if you are using Azure Site Recovery without WAP. So it's not only WAP focused, it's Azure Site Recovery focused. The first one is the D drive. All the person that already tried to move, to migrate a VM from on-prem to Microsoft Azure, or already just create a VM in Microsoft Azure, so that there is a D drive that's available, a D drive which is for temporary storage. What do we have in this D drive? In fact, just the page file. How does it work in Microsoft Azure? The D drive is there. It's directly connected to the host, in fact. So Microsoft is using a storage account, a storage group, where all your VM VHD and file are, but on each host, you've got a temporary storage. And in fact, this drive will be mapped directly to your VM for the page file. It means that if you need to move the VM from one host to another, there is no replication of this drive. So that's what the D drive is for over there in Microsoft Azure. And if you try to migrate, if you're already using the D drive for one of your VM and you want to move this VM to Microsoft Azure, at the first start of your VM, what will happen? Your D drive that you have on-prem will be replaced by this one. So when you will start your VM, you will have a new D drive, which will be the temporary storage drive and not the drive that you were expecting. So it means that you will have to remap the drive yourself because the data will be there. Your disk, your D drive, your original D drive will be uploaded to Microsoft Azure. It will be there. But you will need to assign a new letter. And you will certainly want to keep the D letter. So we will need to change the letter. OK, move my page file, change the letter drive, restart. That's a long process. And that could be really a problem when you have a lot of workload that you want to move to Microsoft Azure, so using Azure Site Recovery or just by uploading your VM. For that, there is a quick solution, an easy one, which is, in fact, coming from Microsoft KB. There is two ways to enable that. So here, you could enable this option in DOS, so with command prompt, with classical command, so you need to enable the SAN policy, and you have to put online all settings. So you could do it directly through a command prompt, or you could do it here in PowerShell, which means that before replicating your VM, before enabling the Azure Site Recovery protection, or before moving a VM that you have on-prem and you want to move to Microsoft Azure, just run this PowerShell command on it. Which means that all the letter, all the drive that you are running in this VM will keep their letter. So when you will power on your VM in Microsoft Azure, your D drive will be still there, and the temporary drive will take the next available letter over there. So that's really a huge problem that has been solved because we had a lot of customers that they say, okay, no, we cannot move in Microsoft Azure because first we'll move the VM, and after that, at the first start, the application will not work. And you will have to shut down the application. We'll have to change the drive letter and so on. That will take time. But just by running this, you could directly move to Microsoft Azure. Another one, is it a good idea to use Azure Site Recovery to move to Azure? Maybe not. Maybe you don't want to protect your VM with Azure Site Recovery, but you just want to move your on-site workload to Microsoft Azure. And maybe you are running VMware, and you say, OK, no, let's move my VM to Microsoft Azure and continue to only use it online, and you don't want to use it offline or on-prem anymore. Yes, that's a good idea. And that's an easy way to do, and there is an easy way. What you have to do, you just need to enable Azure Site Recovery for your VM. It should, could be all your physical server, because as you could see, a lot of different stuff are supported. So everything that has been supported with Azure Site Recovery can be used to just move your VM workload, your workload, I would say, to Microsoft Azure. How to do that? Just enable Azure Site Replication, as we saw before. Do a failover. So like this, everything has been enabled in Microsoft Azure. And after that, you just stop. You just stop the Azure Site Recovery protection. So in fact, you decided to protect your VM. You have to do a failover. And after that, I say, I will just break my Azure Site Recovery protection over there. And your VM will still and continue to run in Microsoft Azure. And that's an easy way to move physical server, to move Linux server, to move Amazon server directly to Microsoft Azure. So that's really an easy way. By using Windows Azure Site Recovery, you could create an easy migration from on-prem to Microsoft Azure. That's really an easy way to do it. Bandwidth consumption, because as you know, if you are using Azure Site Recovery, it will consume, so you need to replicate your workload, you need to replicate your VM over there. There is some tips over there. So Microsoft, out of the box, will use a different thread to run that, and by default, it's using only 4 threads. So here I did some tests with only one VM. Of course, if you are uploading multiple VM at the time, it will consume all the bandwidth that is available. Or maybe if you want to reduce the bandwidth which is available, that's also a good idea to use that. With about 4 threads, I was uploading to Microsoft Azure with about 100 megabits per second. So that's the idea. With 4, we're about 200, and with 32 threads, we're about 500 megabit per second. And these keys are already true when you want to fail back. Because if you are not playing with this, and you say, OK, no, my DRP is done, or I want to finish it, I want to fail back on-prem. I say, so you want to recover from Microsoft Azure and come back on-prem. If you keep the settings that you have out of the box, normally you will not go higher than this speed. So think about it when you test it. So maybe you will have to fine-tune this value to be sure to use all the capacity, all the internet connectivity, all the capacity, all the bandwidth that you have to recover as soon as you can. So to reduce the downtime of your application, to reduce the downtime over there. Something else. How can we have a view, a look, how can we monitor if Azure Site Recovery is working well? I will show you different options, but one, which is another option which is there, it's OMS. So my OMS, it's a new product from Microsoft. A lot of sessions already happened during this event about OMS. But yes, we've got the option to see Azure Site Recovery information directly in OMS over there. So we just take a look over there to see what we can do. So first option, if you want to get a status about Azure Site Recovery to be sure that everything is running well, directly on your Hyper-V server, you could open the event viewer, and you've got here something that has been created. So Microsoft Azure Site Azure Recovery Services replication. So there, you could directly have a quick view if something is going wrong on your replication. The other way to have information, it's directly from the Microsoft Azure portal. OK, it will reload and whatever. OK, let's wait a bit. I don't know why I'm clicking here. It's always reloading everything. OK, so let's take a look here. So there, as we saw before, the jobs. So with the jobs, you could quickly have a status to see if the protection has been enabled correctly or not. So you could retrieve this status and see, OK, everything seems to run well. All the VMs seems to be protected. And you've got another view, event. You could see also directly if something is going wrong or not. So you could see, OK, this VM seems OK, this one no, or there is a problem over there. And you've got detailed. And you, as administrator, you could also be notified with information. So that's another way to have a status from your Azure Site Recovery infrastructure, I would say. And another one, let's try to get this one, OMS. So if you are going to microsoft.com/OMS, so you could subscribe for free, so you could have a free data plan. And you could have a lot of different information, but that's not the idea here. you've got the solution gallery. So you've got kind of, so it's, I would say it's not like a management pack for Scrum, but that's a bit the idea. So it's a pack that you could have and add value to your OMS infrastructure. And if you take a look to all the stuff that are available here in the gallery, you've got something for Azure Site Recovery. And that's the dashboard that you could have. So it means that you will connect your OMS environment to your Azure Site Recovery infrastructure, Azure subscription, and you will be able to retrieve information. You will be able to get dashboards. You will be able to get alerts directly like this, as you could see here. And you could have it also directly on your phone with the application which is available for the already for the moment for Windows Phone. And so that's what I have for the moment. So you could see not a lot of information right now because it's a demo environment, but you could see the number of VMs that are protected, how many VMM servers that I'm using, and if a job is failing or my job are running well. So that's giving you directly an idea of the health of your DRP plan, of your DRP site, and everything is running well. So there you've got the status directly available. So everything, a lot of stuff are moving directly from OMS and Azure Site Recovery is part also of them. Another one, what about pricing? So because everything has a cost and it's not for free. So if you are using the site-to-site connectivity, it's about 13 euros per VM that you want to protect over there. If you want to protect from on-site to Microsoft Azure, you have to pay about 45 euros per VM. Price could change a lot of time. That's not the question here. But what is really important on this slide, if you want to test it, you could test it for free for 31 days. So if you have a customer or if you want to test Azure Site Recovery for one, with one, two, three, four VMs, whatever, you could test it for free. So you've got 31 days to protect your VM, run it, replicate it to Microsoft Azure, enable it over there, and recover your VM over there. So that's really over there. So for 31 days, it's free, so you could really test it. So you could create a trial account in Microsoft Azure, and you could try Azure Site Recovery for free directly like this for 31 days. If you take a look here, it's based on the instance name. So if you create a VM, a test VM, you enable it, you test it, that's cool. And now you want to continue your test. Just delete your VM and create a new one with another name. It will be, again, free for 31 days. So it's really per instance that you want to protect. So it's not in general Azure Site Recovery, which is free for 31 days. So you could really play with that over there. What about the future of Azure Site Recovery? You saw a bit that we went to the new Microsoft portal. So right now, the Azure Site Recovery is not yet available over there, but it will be for the end of the year. And if you attended also to the different Azure Resource Manager session, ARM, you know that it will be a big deal for Microsoft. It will be a big new investment. If you are talking about Windows Azure Pack and Azure Site Recovery and Microsoft Azure in general, it will come as a resources. So you will be able to create an ARM file, config file, with your Azure Site Recovery option over there. So everything will be configured. So everything will be available for the end of the year. About Azure Stack, so no information yet, so there we will see certainly later on, but that for sure, your investment that you are doing right now in Azure Site Recovery will work with Azure Stack later on, so that's not a problem. We still have 2 minutes left, so I give you here a lot of links, and they are really, really interesting links, because if you want to have an idea of the future, what will happen. You've got the user voice forum, so that's really, really a cool feature. I don't know if you already went to one of them, because there, you, as customer, or as user, you could request for feature. So you could say, oh, that would be nice to have this option. And there, you've got direct interaction with Microsoft. So as you could see, so when you're logging, you receive a number of votes, I think something about 10, and you could create a new request, a new feature that you would like to see, or you could vote for feature from somebody else. And as you could see, for example, the first one, a lot of vote, and Microsoft already replied to it. Yes, we will do that. So that's really, so if you want to have an idea of the future and see if there will be able, if you will be able to use and do what you want with Azure Site Recovery, you could take a look to the user voice forum and you could see, okay, so this is planned, this is under review, so maybe Microsoft will do it, so maybe you could put a comment or vote for it. So Microsoft is really listening to you to know which feature you want to have, what you want to have and what we want to do for the future. So they're really there. So I really invite you to go there and check what is already existing, check what is planned also, and propose something else if you want. So that's really important. So these guides are really cool. And Microsoft during the year also did a lot of investment on Azure Site Recovery, and they did a lot of meeting, and the recordings are publicly available. So if you want to start, or if you want to focus only on one topic, so you could directly go and check this meeting, so that the recording of this meeting that are publicly available, so you could watch it later whenever you want. So all the links are available over there. So we are just on time. So I would like to thank you, all the sponsors, all the person that has been in contact and work for this event. Of course, if you have anything that you want to say about the session in general, please give us feedback directly through the application or directly through the planning over there. If you want to talk to me, I'm still there, so you could come directly here after the session, or we could have a chat later on about the subject. Now, I would like to thank you for joining my session, and see you next time.